Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega. Take a listen.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest.
Well, you're listening to Carl Nassib making history, because with this personal Instagram post on Monday afternoon, the Las Vegas Raiders defensive end became the first active NFL player to announce he is gay. Joining me now to talk about this moment and why it matters is Wade Davis. Wade's a former NFL player, and he currently consults with multiple corporations across tech and entertainment and sports. And thank you for being here, Wade.
Thank you for having me. It's always a privilege to be in conversation with you, Melissa.
When I heard this news, I thought, wait a minute. Wade and I have basically been talking about the challenges of being openly gay in men's professional sports for like going on a decade. Now, you came out in 2012 after the end of your playing days, which was extraordinarily courageous in that moment. But also talk to me about what it is about Nassib being actively in the league that makes this moment something that builds on what you did.
I've been thinking about this question for a while, and part of it is, I think it's a forcing function to ensure that players, that owners, that coaches, that executives have a different level of fluency in being able to talk about what it means to be lesbian, bisexual, gay, trans, non-binary. And there is now an expectation that they can do this relatively well, right? And that they also can talk about what it means to sit at the intersection of multiple identities also, right? Because I'm a believer, as you have taught me, right, that the root of homophobia is sexism. So you can't have a conversation about what it means to have an active gay player in the NFL without also really trying to nuance the conversation and say, what are the learnings that we can take from his announcement? What are the languages? What are the things that we need to be better at? And that must be inclusive of gender and sexism also.
Part of what was heartwarming about this moment is that Carl's able to say, I have a wonderful family. I have the support. I have this community around me, basically. And it took me back to 2014 when you and I talked about Michael Sam. And Michael Sam, as a Black player coming out of poverty, out of a very challenging family situation, that for him, gay identity wasn't exclusively about sexuality. It was also about the intersections of that economic disprivilege and race.
I don't think that people understand the debt that we owe to Michael Sam. Michael Sam, in my opinion, is a revolutionary in every sense of the word. And Michael Sam literally gave up his future, you know, his football future, rather, in a way that allows someone like Carl to stand on his shoulders now. And Michael will probably never get the credit that he is due for cracking open not just a sports institution, but other institutions to say that the performance of these, you know, these ideas of macho, right, aren't what we should aspire towards. And if you think about, to your point, like Carl now will be hailed as something great, as he should be, right? But what did we miss? Like, what was the conversation that we should have had about Michael Sam when someone like Michael sits at the intersection of class, of race, and of sexual orientation? And I hope that the media is much more sophisticated now, that they can see Carl as a football player who is also gay and not someone who is gay and a football player first, because that distinction is really important. As you know, most kids who identify as LGB, right, don't start to understand their sexuality until somewhat later. But I'm sure that Carl, myself, and others, right, knew that we wanted to play sports from a very early age. So our identity as an athlete often is formed prior to our identity as LGB.
So talk about that just a bit more for me, because as part of his announcement, Nassib said, representation matters. And I was thinking about this and the work that you did with the You Can Play project. So I love this language. It's really helpful to think about young people knowing first, oh, I'm in the little league, or, you know, I'm a, you know, I know for sure I want to play football or basketball or whatever it is. And only later, maybe, as it is for queer and straight kids, right, having that sense of what sexual identity might be like, or might be within that, that context of already having an identity shaped as an athlete. So when you talk with young people, when you work with young people, what are some of the lingering challenges that queer young folk face as they engage in organized sport?
One of the largest ones is like the perpetuation of this myth that there is one way to be a man or a boy, right? And there are these scripts, there are these ways that little boys specifically are forced to show up and to grow up much earlier, right? So you start to hear language like little man, or, you know, just language that doesn't allow kids to be kids. And there was also a demand for a certain type of toughness, right? That you cannot express any emotions, that pain is something to be overcome and not expressed, right? The other thing with the language that we use, so probably about 10 years ago, a friend of ours, his name is Darnell Moore, he coined a term inviting in, which is a really important distinction and changes the way that we think about like what the demand is of LGBTQ plus folks, right? Because the language of coming out, it connotes that we actually have some work to do, but the language of inviting in kind of shifts the paradigm and says, hey, you heterosexual identified folks, you have created a society, right, that harms, that terrorizes folks who don't fit a certain idea. And therefore, you have work to actually do before we invite you in into what's happening in our mental mind state. And when you do that work, then we give you the gift of understanding what's happening to us. And you also can learn a lot from us. And I think the hardest part for heterosexual folks, right, is to see themselves in us, is to see our strength, our brilliance, to see past just our sexual orientation. And that shift also is something that we have to continue to push this conversation to have beyond just the idea that sports is a space where folks who don't fit this macho paradigm can't succeed and thrive in.
It's such a beautiful reminder for listeners who are not familiar with his work. I am going to just do a little book suggestion here and suggest that you go out and get Darnell Moore's No Ashes in the Fire, in part because it is written in a way that does that invites in and has that kind of core empathetic aspect that is part of what makes Darnell just a lovely person to always be around. So let's dig in on that just a little bit more, because given your years of leadership in this area, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the wave of state legislation this year that sought to ban trans youth from sports participation. And I think, you know, you've been helping us think a little bit about how it might be more of an adolescent moment for many gay young people. But trans youth often know very early on, have a lot of clarity about their identity. So what would you say to those young people whose families or themselves feel harmed by the public discourse surrounding these efforts to pass these laws?
To anyone who identifies as trans and non-binary, the work to do is not to try to convince anyone else of your humanity. Your work is to continue to love and to step into your own truth and not feel a demand to explain, right, to prove anything to anyone else. The work, I would say, for heterosexual folks is to realize that you are always having a gender identity conversation. I was literally having a conversation with a friend of mine who was saying that, you know, his daughter, who was 9, probably he didn't think was ready to have a conversation about gender identity. And I said, well, do you call your child she? He said, yes. I said, do you call your child daughter? And he said, yes. I said, well, you're already having a conversation about gender identity. The problem is that there's a certain conversation that you're more comfortable having and one that you're not. So we've got to continually kind of hold up the mirror to our non-trans and non-NBI folks to say, hey, like, you're already having these conversations, but your discomfort is having a conversation that doesn't allow me or folks who identify as LGBTQ plus to be at the same level and to be seen just like you.
It did feel to me, if we go on back to Carl here, his decision didn't seem like it was a surprise to his team or to the league, which suggests to me that there were some professional conversations he likely had before posting that video. How would you rate how the league did in its response to him?
To be very honest, I haven't had a chance to see all of the responses from the NFL. What I will say is that the NFL has a larger responsibility, not just in the LGBTQ space, but in the social justice space, right? To continually to realize that they oftentimes reflect what's happening in our larger society, but they also have an outsized impact on how we see ourselves. So I would say that the league has a responsibility to figure out, how do you get more non-LGBTQ players to continually use their platform to advocate on behalf of those who don't have the same level of attention and or advocacy? And what does it look like to have owners who have lots of power, right? Who have lots of access to start to fight on behalf of individuals who identify as LGBT, to, as you said earlier, to push back on some of these really awful dehumanizing laws that are specifically targeting trans folks.
Wade A. Davis is a consultant, leadership coach, and former NFL player, and as you can hear, just one of my most thoughtful and fabulous humans in my life. Thank you for joining The Takeaway, Wade.
Thank you for having me. And I can't wait to hug you soon.